History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Oh, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, believe it or not, we're already in hour number three today. Thanks so much for joining the program. The John Cantara Show is presented by the San Diego International Auto Show, going on now through Sunday at the convention center. Again, Gwen and Chris going to be down there. Tony's back today. They'll be down there from 3 to 7. A lot of fun, a lot of great memories down there. I've had an opportunity to interview a lot of great people down at that auto show over the years. I remember he's passed away now, but Arlie Ermey, I remember he was on the program one time. We've had some great ones over the years from the auto show, and I know Gwen and Chris will have a good time down there today. Scraby's going to be down there, and they'll take your phone calls. Want to get some phone calls this hour? Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. And again, at 2:57, we'll have this hour's Grand Slam giveaway, and we'll give you a key word, and you text it, and you have an opportunity, it doesn't guarantee, but an opportunity to get a piece of $180,000. We're going to get to a little coaching news here momentarily, but I want to get out to the phones. We kick off hour number three, Pee Wee and Imperial Beach. You're on with Coach John Cantara on 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Coach. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, my friend. What's on your mind? What you got for me today?
So you excited for FanFest in a couple weeks?
Yeah, I'll be very excited for FanFest. Hey, every day that goes off the calendar now, we're just getting a little bit closer to spring training. I'm just hoping the Padres can still make a deal and get a veteran pitcher in this rotation. I just don't think they have enough on the mound right now.
Awesome. So you're going to be down there, right, so I can come up to you and get an autograph, right?
I'll probably be down there. I don't know what my schedule is down there. I don't know if I'm broadcasting from down there, but more than likely I'll be making an appearance.
Okay.
Hey, if you saw me right now, maybe Braden could take a picture of me and tweet it out. I've got my Padre Brown on right now as I'm sitting here doing this talk show.
Awesome.
Well, hey.
I had one other question.
Okay.
Okay, you said you're in a giving mood, right?
Right.
You have anything you can give me?
No, but a hard time, I guess, more than anything else. No, I don't have anything else. I was just nice today, and I wanted to give away tickets the first day back on the air. But, Pee-wee, I'm sure during the course of 2020, we'll be taking care of you from time to time.
Okay.
All right, my friend. You have a great day, and we'll be in touch.
All right, we'll see you down at FanFest, maybe.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I love FanFest. I used to love going to FanFest because you get an opportunity to interview the players. You know, that's the great thing, Braden, about going to FanFest and going to spring training. You get these players where, you know, they're not in game mode. Yeah, in spring training, they're looking to get their work in, and they may be on their way over to a spring training game. But it's just a lot better, especially if you don't know the guys. It's a great way to, you know, get introduced. They see your face. Guys like me are hard to miss when I walk through a clubhouse.
Yeah, guys like you are hard to miss. Any high school game we do, getting from the entrance of the high school stadium to the booth, I think you stop at least 35 times. I need to go to. I haven't been to spring training in so long. I want to go.
Yeah, we gotta talk to Adam Klug. I mean, they gotta get us a sponsorship. There's gotta be somebody in our listening audience that would love to sponsor the John Cantara Show. You and I go out there for a week, Monday through Friday. We'll fly in on Sunday night. We'll have a nice dinner, and then we'll broadcast 5 days, and in between being on the air, we'll be running around getting interviews, and not only are you in spring training for Padres, but you get an opportunity to see the Angels and the Dodgers, and
right.
You know, cover some of these other ball clubs as well.
We had some interviews for the Padres pregame show. Come on,
absolutely.
We got to get ready for the Padres pregame. We got to get ready for the Padres season. So,
well, we got some Padre talk coming up here in about 7 minutes after we come back for the next break. We got John, just to kind of tease a little bit, John Heyman, who is a friend of the program, and we've had him on a number of times over the years. He's really good at what he does, But he really rankled some Padre fans this morning.
Yeah, so did Joel Sherman with their tweets today.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that, and you know. But I want to hear from Padre fans. Are the Padre fans, are they still on the holiday, or do they want to talk Padre baseball? I mean, you better start making some deals if you're the Padre. I mean, are they really going to go to spring training with Austin Hedges and Francisco Mejia as their two catchers?
And go there with the pitching staff that they have? And,
yeah.
And every
pitching staff is not bad.
No, it's not.
But it needs to get better. It needs to get better.
Well, they teased playoff contention. They teased heads will roll. They teased all that fun stuff. So you're not going to get it done with the current staff.
Are we
going
to hold
have.
Their feet to the fire?
Oh, well, we'll find out. Maybe if we go to spring training.
Okay, let's get into this coaching news, because is Jerry Jones still meeting with Jason Garrett for a third straight day today? What do we know on that one?
Yeah, he met with the. They're meeting with Garrett today.
What is going on there?
I don't know. What are they doing?
Is he maybe going to become the general manager now and not be the head coach? I mean, what is going on? I mean, you bring a guy in, you had to have already made a decision, don't you? Are you going to let him talk you out of it?
I feel like, to me, he's already like cleaned out his office and he's already said his goodbyes, and he did the thing on the field at AT&T Stadium with his family and friends, kind of like a last hurrah thing. Everybody knows that he's going to get let go, and he's still there. And what are you going to do, wait for his contract to expire on January 14th? That seems to be the date that's out there a lot. But that all it does is hamper you for trying to go get a new head coach. Do they not have a plan? Do they not have a head coach in mind to replace him? Are they just going to replace the entire staff and leave Jason Garrett in charge? What are they doing? What are the Cowboys doing?
Well, maybe we need to get someone on tomorrow to try to explain what they're doing, because I have no idea what the hell they're doing.
Call up our guy, R.J. Ochoa.
R.J. Ochoa would be great.
See what he's got to say about the Cowboys.
Well, I mean, this is the third straight day, and they even met, not on yesterday. They took a day off, okay? They came back today, and we heard at the beginning of the week, when we did the show on Monday, we were told that their assistant coaches that did not have a contract were told, you better go look for a job.
Right.
Well, that tells me there's going to be a complete house cleaning. If they bring him back, and they very well may at this point in time, if you were going to waive him, okay, if you're going to, his contract's up and you're going to get rid of him, why are you having three different meetings with him?
Like, you keep bringing the guy in for more? I mean, like, what are these meetings? What could you possibly be talking to a guy that you're going to fire in three consecutive meetings in 1 week? What are you talking about? You're not going to ask, is this a long exit interview? You're going to see, we felt like you probably could have done this more. What can we work on? I don't think that's happening. I don't know what's going on with the Cowboys, but they seem to be acting more like the Browns each and every day.
Well, we're going to get to the Browns in a minute, but you take a look at the Cowboys now. They got some big decisions to make. They've got to give a ton of money to their quarterback, Dak Prescott, and they've got to give a ton of money if they want to keep him. I'm not sure they want to keep Amari Cooper right now. That would be another good question for R.J. Ochoa. I mean, they need to get back to running the football. They became way too pass happy this year. And I know Prescott had a great year with yardage and all that, but you also got a guy in the backfield that's led the NFL two different years in rushing, and you didn't utilize him the best way you possibly could have this year.
And when the Cowboys run the ball, they play better football.
No question about it, and their quarterback's better too.
Exactly. So you got to help out Dak that way. Well, I thought was interesting with Amari Cooper is he has very similar stats to Gallup. So Gallup's
putting
up the same amount of numbers as Amari Cooper. Why are you going to spend that much money on Amari Cooper? We got Michael Gallup.
Well, you know what? Gallup may be putting up those numbers because of the coverage that Cooper's taken off of him.
Are they double teaming Amari Cooper every time?
They do quite a bit.
Do they?
Yeah.
You can't double team everybody.
No, you can't double team everybody.
And it's very rare that teams actually double team in the National Football
League. So you're not trying to give Amari Cooper a lot of credit, okay?
No, I'm not, because he's not. Double teaming thing is such a. I think that narrative is a joke, because I don't honestly think the NFL.
You know what, they bracket
guys.
They bracket.
Oh, is that
him.
What they do?
Yeah, they bracket.
You had a tight end. You can't double team anybody, because then you have a gap exposed. So how are you going to do that?
Well, they
and they play with Jason Witten a lot. So if Jason Witten's
on
the field,
they also have another young tight end too.
If Jason Witten's on the field, they can't double team Amari Cooper. That means they leave a gap susceptible to be open on a run defense.
They can move an outside linebacker
out
on him.
No, they can't, because then you got to have guys playing two-gap looks, and you can't do that in the National Football League. It's too difficult.
Well, you know what?
Come on, coach. You should know this.
They bracket him.
Oh, is that what they do?
Yeah.
You're just giving Amari Cooper too much credit.
He's a game changer.
Yeah, he's not. You want to know why?
Why?
Because receivers are a dime a dozen. They are. Unless you got
they
a guy,
say that about running
unless
backs,
you got
too.
A guy like Calvin Johnson, you can really get... Look at Aaron Rodgers' receiving corps this year. Geronimo Allison? Are you kidding? I mean, every guy he throws to is
well,
like a new name.
They still got Davante Adams.
They got Davante Adams, who's having a better year than he did in the year before.
By the way, I want to remind everyone, all the games, the two games on Saturday, the two games on Sunday are going to be right here on 97.3 The Fan. Saturday, the wild card game, 1:35, we got Buffalo going against Houston. Saturday night at 5:15 from Gillette Stadium, we got Tennessee, New England. How about that?
That's going to be good.
Yeah, I want to see if Tennessee, with the NFL's leading rusher, Derrick Henry, can go in there and do some damage. And then Sunday, we got a 10:05 kickoff in the NFC wild card, Minnesota going into New Orleans. And Sunday at 1:40, you got Seattle and Philadelphia.
Back to my receivers are a dime a dozen, by the way.
Okay.
Who's Tom Brady throwing the ball to?
Julian Edelman.
That's fine, but he's not. If they lose Julian Edelman, they'll be fine. They're using the guys like Mohamed Sanu, who couldn't do anything for Atlanta for the last handful of years, and now he's tearing
it up for
the
Patriots.
He
wasn't in the right system.
Oh, is that what it is?
Right. He wasn't in the right
exactly.
system.
Exactly. You could throw anybody in with Tom Brady. He's going to make him look good. Quarterbacks are way more valuable. Linemen are more valuable. I'm going to put it this way. You're the San Francisco 49ers. How did you build your team? Did you build it around receiving core?
Well, John Lynch built the way I would have built it.
You built around the offensive and
defensive line. Absolutely.
How did the Browns build their team? Through the receiving core. What are the Browns doing right now?
They
fired their head coach, and they got a new general manager on their
They
way.
Couldn't block air right now, that offensive line in Cleveland.
Yeah, and they have the best receiving core in the National Football League, arguably.
You know what? I would love to be the general manager of the Browns. I think I could put together a winning football program there. I really do.
You think you can win 8 games with the Browns?
Yeah, I do. I think I could win probably 9. I think I could go 9-7 next year with a couple of tweaks to that offensive line.
What do you think?
They've got the skill guys to be really good.
Who do you think Alabama can beat the Jaguars too? Are you one of those guys?
No. No, there's no college team that can beat a pro team. I don't care what anybody says.
I agree with that. But what I'm saying is you're making it sound like being a general manager is really easy. Do you
it's
have any experience
easy.
Being a general manager?
Yeah, I do.
I know.
Yeah, I got 3 championship rings from the San Diego Sockers.
You should call up Haslam right now and be like, hey, people call me the coach. Your reporters call me coach. You need to hire me to be your general manager. You want to know why? Because I won 3 titles with the San Diego Sockers. And you know what? Haslam might hire you. I'll be honest with you.
Hey, you know what? It's the only opportunity I've had to be a general manager and a record of 108-22. We did okay.
I would be okay with you leaving this to go do that job if I get a job in the front office with the Browns.
Right.
You bring me with you?
Yeah, you'd be the director of player personnel. You'd
Sounds
be
good.
Working hand-in-hand with me like we work right here at 97.3 The Fan.
Singing Kumbaya and drafting linemen
hey,
and
I'll
not receivers.
What. See, I would feel much more comfortable being a general manager of a baseball team because you don't have to deal with salary caps and that. I'd need to have a good capologist, though. If I was an NFL guy. And I would probably have to pick John Lynch's brain because John didn't know anything about the capologist stuff and all that. But he's got good people. You surround yourself with good people and you go for it.
He gets good people. Yeah, that's the other thing, too. You got to get guys that buy in your system and guys that fit your team. And that's what he does.
I'm going to tell you a story
fit
here.
Fit your culture.
And Johnny, he fell in this. Here's why I became the general manager of the Sockers. A lot of people have asked me, why'd you do that? Because it was a year removed from having a heart attack, and I was still doing a 5-night-a-week talk show and doing Padre stuff, and I was asked to come up to the office of the Sockers, and I had all these ideas to try to help them get fans in. And that's an area, if you haven't been to a Sockers game, go, because they need some people to show up. I've noticed the attendance hadn't been real good so far this year, but normally after Christmas, it gets a lot better. But they asked me to come up, and I had all these ideas, and they stopped the meeting. They halfway, about 5 minutes in the meeting, they offered me the job as GM, and I started laughing. I go, well, I'm not going to quit my other job. They go, well, we don't think you have to. And I told Phil Salvaggio, who's one of the owners and head coach, I go, you know, Phil, if I take this job, one of these days I may have to fire you because we got to win. Well, we were very fortunate. We won 5 division titles, got to the playoffs all 6 years, won 3 league championships, had a winning streak of 47 games in a row. And it was a great opportunity. opportunity, and I thank the Sockers for giving me that opportunity. I never thought that I would be a GM of any type of professional sports team, but I was, and I had fun with it. I would like to do it again, maybe in baseball or football. I don't think I'll ever be given that opportunity because I don't go out and look for that opportunity. It's a lot of work, and the thing that I hated most about being the GM, Braden, you know, I'd go down there and get ready for the game, and I'd put my nice suit on and try to play the part of the GM. But, man, inside, being a coach, you have absolutely no control on game night. And I know that's the way Johnny feels as well.
He's always on the sideline. He's always stuck.
Well, he's on the sideline late. He's normally up in a booth sitting there by himself. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we got to talk about the Browns, but we got to get into the Padres. A lot of people really upset with some of the national media today talking about our hometown ball club. We'll tell you about that, and we'll get to your phone calls as well. Coach John Quintero, going to 3 o'clock. Thanks for joining us right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. The time. I want to remind everyone, all our guests on the John Quintero Show come via the fan hotline sponsored by the San Diego County Credit Union. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, give them a call at 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com. I want to get into Padre talk, but a couple of football notes. I want to get to the Cleveland Browns, Braden, and get an update, and then we're going to get to call. We got a very busy last 35 minutes on the program. Another sad note. They always say they die in threes. Yesterday it was David Stern, the commissioner of the NBA for 30 years. It was Don Larson, the great star out of Point Loma High School, threw the perfect game for the Yankees 1956 against the Brooklyn Dodgers. And then Sam Weish, longtime NFL coach, a broadcaster, a quarterback in the NFL with the Bengals. Sam Weish passed away today at the age of 74. And we were talking about John Lynch a little while ago. I said if I was ever a GM, I'd have to pick Johnny's brain on how to deal with the cap. That was John's first pro coach when he got drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, boy, that's a sad one today. Sam Weish, always enjoyed his work as a broadcaster. He had that problem with his voice, and he had a surgery, and it cut his vocal cord, and he was never able to really broadcast after that, which was very sad. Okay, Braden, give us an update on the Cleveland Browns. It's amazing. Bad organizations continue to do dumb things.
Yeah, so the Browns today, during Jimmy Haslam's presser, he says they will first hire a head coach and then have the head coach be involved in the hiring of a general manager. Of course, they mutually parted ways with their former general manager. I'm blanking on their name.
John Dorsey,
who built that phenomenal team that they have right now.
They actually got a pretty good roster. I was looking at the moves he made and some of the moves he did trading guys. He made better moves than he did bad moves.
Coach, all that matters, I think somebody told me this. It was right of you. All that matters at the end of the
day. That's right.
What the number says in the left column, what the number says in the right column, and they didn't get it done.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you.
Because they traded their best offensive lineman for more receivers.
All right, let's duck in a quick call here. Bill in La Jolla, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you today? Bill, are you there? Hey, Bill, go right ahead. Well, we'll work on Bill there momentarily, try to get Bill back up there. Let me know if you got him there, Braden. I think he's there, isn't he? Hey, Bill, welcome to 97.3. How are you? Well, I guess we'll have to put Bill on hold. Let's try Brian in Normal Heights. Brian wants to talk a little Padre baseball. Brian, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you?
Doing great, Coach. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, man. I wanted to start off with the Padres. Honestly, Coach, I really don't understand exactly what they're doing this offseason. I still think they have a lot of room for improvement to make. There's still a lot of moves to be made. First, I'll start with the positives. Drew Pomeranz, I thought that was a really good signing. The Padres already had a pretty solid bullpen to begin with. Adding him at the back end, I think, is only going to improve things. So I really like that signing. Jurickson Profar, I know at one point in the Texas Rangers organization, and it's no surprise Preller got this guy because he was with Texas, you know.
Right.
But he was one of the top prospects in the game. The guy's got legitimate pop. He doesn't strike out a ton. He gets on base. He may or may not, Jerry's still out, be a better option than Urias down the road in the future.
Right.
It's yet to be determined. But other than that, Coach, you know, the catching situation, just to be perfectly blunt, is downright deplorable at this point. I mean, you got Austin Hedges. He's a great defender, calls a good game, works well with the staff, but he can't hit, if you can't break 180, I'm sorry. You know, you got to go in a different direction. Mejia, the jury's still out on him. Left field, pretty much the same with Will Myers. The only difference now is you got somebody to platoon with him in Trent Grisham, who, again, former first-round pick, may or may not pan out, yet to be determined. But then you look at the starting rotation, Coach, and at this point it looks very patchwork at best. You got Chris Paddock, who's got tremendous stuff, tremendous upside, but he really hasn't even pitched a full season. I think they shut him down, what, a month and a half or 2 months to go?
No, he got, you know, he was there up until about 3 weeks to go or 2 weeks in the season. You know, I have no problem with the way Paddock was used. Now you're going to be able to pretty much, you know, take the handcuffs off of him.
I agree. But, I mean, if you, outside of him, you got a couple guys in Garrett Richards and Nelson Lament, who both admittedly have really good stuff. Possibly top end of the rotation stuff, but both guys are definitely injury prone. Both guys, I believe, are coming off Tommy John surgery. I don't think Richards has pitched a full season since, I believe.
No, you know what, Brian? Let me sum up the pitching staff. There are a lot of ifs. If Chris Paddock can come up with that third pitch, if Garrett Richards can stay healthy, if Denelson Lamet can find his command, Zach Davies is probably the most proven guy because he's done it now for a number of years at the big league level. And then I think Joey Lucchese, I thought, and we talked with Randy about this on Monday. For me, I like Lucchese. I thought he made some strides last year. He didn't make the strides that I would have hoped, but I did see some improvement, and hopefully he'll take that next step this year. But they still need more. They need another veteran somewhere along the line in that starting rotation. And I know they're counting on Quantrill, and they're looking to Gore and Patino. Gore and Patino are not ready right now, okay? And
exactly.
Don't force feed them. Let them log their innings in the minor leagues and then bring them up when they're ready.
No, I 100% agree with you, Coach. You can't just rush these guys. You can't fast-track them because they've tried that numerous times and it really pans out. And, you know, I don't really blame them for not going on the free agent market and signing a Gerrit Cole or a Stevens. That's pretty far-fetched to think they're going to outspend the Yankees or even the Nationals surprisingly came up with the money. But I was kind of disappointed they didn't go after a Bumgarner or a Dallas Keuchel. I know that David Price's name has been kicked around, which I really wouldn't mind if they're somehow able to unload Will Myers.
Well, that would really be, Brian, that would be the way they'd have to do it. You know, I'm not, as much as I like Bumgarner and the toughness and being the tough, hard-nosed veteran that would bring something, I think, to this organization, I don't want to give Bumgarner $85 million. I really don't. And I don't want to give Ryu $80 million. And Dallas Keuchel, they could have signed him last year. He wasn't great for Atlanta last year, so I'm okay with him going somewhere else. The guys that I would have like to see him get were a Porcello for $10 million, a Michael Wacha for $3 million. Those guys were available, and they didn't go after him, I don't think. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. But, Brian, always great to hear from you, buddy. Have a great day.
You too, Coach. I appreciate it.
Good Padre talk. When we come back, we're going to get to those tweets by a couple of the national guys. Our phone number, 833-288-0973. Coach John Katura Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. .237 the time, going to the top of the hour will be Gwen and Chris. They'll be broadcasting live from the San Diego International Auto Show at the Convention Center. And I want to remind everyone, the John Katura Show is presented by the San Diego International Auto Show, going on now through Sunday, right there at the San Diego Convention Center. Again, we got our big Grand Slam giveaway coming up at 257, an opportunity for you to get a chance to win your share of over $180,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. That got underway again today, and the boys will have that as well. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. We're going to throw out that key word coming up at 257. We're also going to get to a very special Hang a Star play of the day today, but I want to get back to phone calls as well. Our phone number, 833-288-0973. Braden, you and I talked about this prior to the program. This is not a lot of stuff not going on today. We had a great day yesterday with college football, and I watched the Laker game last night. They had another nice win over the Phoenix Suns. They'll be back in action tomorrow night against New Orleans Pelicans. By the way, I just wanted to mention that USD, we were talking about UCLA earlier, USD opens up conference play tonight at Gerstin Pavilion up in Los Angeles against Loyola Marymount. I want to wish Coach Scholl the very, very best. In fact, a week from today, the number one team in the country, the Gonzaga Bulldogs, are going to be here in town, and we're going to head out to Jenny Craig Pavilion for that one. But I want to get to this Padres story. And it's nice that the Padre fans are staying alive on Twitter and following these gentlemen. But a big topic today, and Padre fans really being criticized for the Machado deal. I don't know why the Padre fans are being criticized for it. But the White Sox, and this was talking about the White Sox doing a lot this offseason. And remember, they went after Manny Machado, Braden. They went after Manny Machado last year and didn't get him. He ended up here in San Diego. Now, here's our buddy John Heyman. This was a tweet that he put out this morning. No one is outworking the White Sox this year. They're very fortunate Manny Machado didn't take their offer last winter. This is a much better use of their money. And then Joel Sherman, who's a colleague of John Heyman's, he tweeted out, White Sox and Padres will be fascinating with so much young talent blossoming. So far, SD has not done well with the money spent around that young core. Will be interesting what Grandal, Keuchel, Encarnacion, Gio Gonzalez, retaining Abreu, bring in stability and production for the Chicago White Sox. So I guess a question they're trying to basically ask here, who makes it to the World Series first, the Chicago White Sox or the San Diego Padres? And I'll be honest with you. I think the White Sox got a hell of a ball club. They got a guy in Jose Abreu who led the American League in RBIs last year. I mean, that guy's a big slugger right in the middle of that lineup. You bring in Yasmani Grandal, you bring in Keuchel, you bring in Gio Gonzalez. They got Yoan Moncada, who a lot of people think could make a run for the MVP in the American League going against Trout this year.
I think it's funny. Because when the Padres were not big spenders and they were cheap, everybody was dogging the Padres. They never spend money. They don't get the big time contract.
Now they're saying they're spending it, but not spending it wisely.
And now they're saying now they're aggressively saying, oh, they're the Padres are getting dogged for spending money. I don't really understand it. Because if the Padres made all the moves that the White Sox made, nobody would be sitting there selling their praises.
Well, you know, the White Sox got a really good manager. Rick Renteria, I think, is a tremendous baseball man. He had a bad break there with the Chicago Cubs, and he got the job right away with the White Sox, and he now is, I think, trying to put together a young ball club, and now they're getting him some help. In fact, some early reports, they have Rick Renteria being the American League Manager of the Year for 2020. How about that?
Wow. Yeah, how about that?
He's a great baseball man. You know, he managed in the Padres system for a long time and was the bench coach here for Buddy Black until he got that job with the Cubbies.
He was, and for me, it's, you know, the comparison between the Padres and the White Sox. I don't even know why these guys brought up the Padres after all the moves the White Sox made.
At least
of
all, they're mentioning the Padres. They didn't used to mention the Padres at all.
Yeah, but now they're trying to, like, stick it to the Padres that the Padres signed Machado, and the White Sox are lucky that they didn't get Machado so they can spend all this money so they could be good. I think it's kind of over the top.
Okay, let me ask you, who does make the World Series first, the Padres or the White Sox? You got an opinion?
I think who makes the World Series first?
Yeah.
If I had to look at right now, the teams that are better, I think they're a better team right now, constructively. They went out and got a bunch of starting rotation. They got a lot of guys in their starting rotation, too. They got a pitching staff that can handle it. Are they good enough to get past the Twins? We'll see. Are they good enough to get past the Yankees? No, I don't think they are. So in that sort of sense, I mean, they could be as good as they want, but eventually they're going to have to get past the Yankees. I don't think they have the ball to do that.
You got to get by the Houston Astros. You got to get by the Oakland A's. A lot of people think the Oakland A's could win the American League West this year.
And the thing is with the National League, is you got to get through who? The Dodgers, right? And you got to maybe get through the Braves. But the Dodgers have not gotten better this offseason. Would you say they've gotten better this offseason?
I don't think they've gotten worse. I mean, Rich Hill only pitched in 13 games last year. He was 4-1 with a 2.35 ERA. He's not going to be able to pitch until the middle of the year. He signs that one-year, $3 million deal a couple of days ago with the Twins, and they got Homer Bailey. Thank you, but no thank you. The guys the Padres haven't signed, I don't blame them for not signing.
I agree.
I mean, as much as I'd love Bumgarner, I said that to Brian on the phone call, I'd love to have Bumgarner here. I don't want to pay him $85 million.
That's the thing.
Yeah, that'd be dumb money.
We've heard different numbers out there for some of these guys that maybe the Padres have offered, and you're sitting there going, well, yeah, if they give him that number, I'd be on board. But if they give him the number that he just signed for, no, of course not. And I don't want to, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Padres – I know they're confident in their young guys, and they're putting a lot of confidence in their young guys, but I think that could be said about potentially shaking off a four-year deal for Bumgarner. Like, let's just use Bumgarner as an example. Four-year contract for Madison Bumgarner, if I'm not mistaken. Are you willing to pay that instead of paying some of your own guys that you have in-house, and do you want to rope up all that money into a guy that you're going to get the best? You're going to get the best out of him this year, and then it's going to get progressively kind of worse down the stretch.
I totally agree. I mean, we've probably
seen the best of them. I'd rather have McKenzie Gore and Luis Patino.
Yeah, but when are we going to see them? It may not be until after the halfway point. By that time, the Padres could be 12 games out.
Yeah, but that's money. You could be having those guys replace Madison Bumgarner in 2 years, but you still have to pay for his contract, and now you got to worry about trying to get rid of his contract, and you have all his money, you know, set with one of those guys that you signed to a 3 or 4 year deal like some of these teams have done, and then all of a sudden, when you need that money to go get somebody else to help you out later on, you're not going to have any money because you wasted it on a guy like Madison.
Hey, like I said, I had no problem with them not signing any of those guys. I wouldn't have paid that kind of money. Right. And I thought right from the get-go that the Padres, the best way for them to strengthen their rotation was going to be through the trade market. They bring in Zach Davies. He's not going to wow you. He throws 88 to 90 miles an hour. The guy knows how to pitch. He's going to have some good days. He's going to have some bad days. He'll probably slide in as their fourth starter. He's a veteran. He knows how to pitch. And you got a lot of young guys still trying to figure it out. I mean, I don't know. As good an arm as the Nelson Lamed has, I don't know if the guy can throw strikes. I mean, he'll be cruising along for 3 or 4 innings. All of a sudden, he goes awry. In a day and age now, you go awry, you put a couple of guys up, and you serve one up. All of a sudden, you've given up 3 runs. You've taken yourself and the ball club out of the ball game.
We'll see what happens before spring training starts or even in spring training. We've seen Preller make some deals during spring training as well. But for me, I think the main strategy for this offseason for the Padres in terms of their starting rotation is just getting guys that can protect your bullpen and keep your bullpen
fresh. I think the bullpen's going to be really
good. The bullpen is the strength, and right now they're doing the moves that they need to make the bullpen their strength, and they need to win with their bullpen. I think that's what they're going to go with. They're going to go throw out Zach Davies in to start a game. They're going to have Joey Lucchese start games. They're going to have Denelson Lamet, Chris Paddock, Garrett Richards, and the goal is to try to keep it under 3 runs and try to have your bullpen win the ball games. I think. I don't think they invested or they built the starting rotation to have guys go 7-8 innings plus and try to win games for you. I think they're trying to win with the bullpen, and I think they're going to try to do it with not having to worry about innings limitations, and they're going to try to do it by protecting their bullpen by just having their starters keep their bullpen fresh.
Well, that means guys have to go more than 4 or 5 innings like we saw last year.
They're
going
to have to go at least 5 or 6.
Wow, really pushing the envelope, 5 innings. Wow.
Hey, nowadays, that's what it does.
Yeah, they get a pat on the back, and when they go to arbitration, they get a big raise. Man.
For going 5 innings?
Unbelievable. By the way, let's take a look. We talk about the Padres and about being in the playoffs. First of all, are they going to be able to win the division against the Dodgers?
No.
Okay. Let's start in the National League East here. Tell me who the Padres are better than, okay? Are they better than the Atlanta Braves?
No.
Are they better than the Washington Nationals?
No.
Are they better than the New York Mets? Take a look at that rotation. Take a look at that rotation. They got Pete Alonso hit over 50 bombs last year.
I think they're pretty comparable to the Mets.
Well, the Mets ended up 86-76, and they fired their manager, and they've upgraded their staff.
The Mets usually underperform.
Okay, the Philadelphia Phillies. They were 81-81.
Well, it depends how healthy they are. But, oh, yeah, I'd say the Phillies are probably better.
Okay, and then the Miami Marlins, the Padres had problems. Well, they are better, but they didn't play real well against the Marlins last year.
They won 57 games. To your argument there, the Padres play well against teams that they shouldn't play well against.
Okay, so you got four teams right there that you think are better than the Padres, okay?
I think three, and I think one of them's a push.
And that's Philadelphia.
That's the Mets.
Okay. Oh, the Mets. Okay.
I think the Phillies are the third best team in that division.
Okay. In the Central, they're not better than the Cardinals. They're not better than the Brewers. Are they better than the Cubbies?
As of right now?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Okay. Are they better than the Cincinnati Reds? Now, think about the rotation that Cincinnati has.
Think about the bandbox they play in.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter.
They got some players.
They do have some players. But I'm done with the buying everybody during the offseason, winning the offseason.
They got
see
a good
play.
Rotation, though.
I got to see them play.
They got Sonny Gray. They got Luis Castillo.
All right, let's say the Reds are better. So far, you think the Padres are going to finish in the bottom third?
Well, I'm not done yet.
Of Major League Baseball.
I'm not done yet. Right. I'm just telling you right now, right, on January 2nd, where we're at.
All right.
And why there needs to be more moves made. A couple of key moves could change this whole dynamic in a real hurry, especially in the West. Okay, you're not going to catch the Dodgers. I don't care what you do. Now, Babe Ruth could come out of his grave and hit cleanup, and the Padres aren't going to beat the Dodgers this year. Okay? Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm not writing them off.
They're not better than Diamondbacks. No.
Are they better than the Giants?
Yes.
I think they are.
I think they're better than the Rockies, too, to be honest with you.
Well, the Rockies, I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea what the Rockies are doing right now.
And the fact that they don't know what they're doing, I think, is a problem for them.
I mean, I think the Padres, if they have a good year, they can finish in second place in the division. But that doesn't mean...
They did that once last decade.
Well, I know. But Colorado, they finished 20 games under 500. Padres finished a game back. Padres, remember, we're hoping that we have Fernando Tatis for at least 145 games this year.
And they're hoping their pitching staff can make it through the year.
Like they did
2 years ago.
Well, the Rockies staff last year was a disaster.
They only had one good year out of their starting rotation. So I think the Padres and the Rockies. But as of right now, on all the teams you said, you think the Padres are better than four teams.
That's correct.
In the National League.
Well, would you argue that?
I think some of them are pushes, and we'll see. But, yeah, you're pretty much close there. So the Padres have no chance of making the playoffs.
I mean, I'm not taking a shot at the Padres by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just trying to say.
As it stands right now.
They need more.
As it stands right now, based on everything you just said, the Padres have zero shit chance at making the playoffs.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they got no shot.
But don't you think most people feel that way? I don't think I'm in the minority.
No, you're not in the minority. I'm just saying what you're saying.
I mean, what's Vegas got them at? 84 and a half?
They got them at 84 wins. Yeah.
If they had 84 wins or 85 wins, that'd be a hell of a year. That'd be a great measuring stick going into 2021.
84 wins prevent heads from rolling?
I would certainly think so.
Really?
Absolutely. I mean, you got to be realistic. Then, you know, here's the deal. I think the owners.
How did the Braves turn?
No, wait a second. I think the owners think this team is a lot closer than baseball people think it is. How about that? I think the front office, I think AJ knows that this team probably isn't going to vie for a... If everything, the stars aligned, everything went perfect, yeah, maybe they could compete for a wild card, but I think the ownership feels this team is a lot closer than regular baseball people think.
I guess the Padres haven't really given anybody in regular baseball people a reason to think they're ever going to be good, ever.
Because
people in baseball have never said the Padres ever were going to be good in any year.
Well, they did in 98.
Did they do it in 2010?
Yeah, they thought they were going to be
good. Did they do it in 2010?
No, that's hard to believe what they did in 2010.
Who knows?
Maybe a lot of people can't even believe they did that.
Who knows? Maybe
they were in it the last day of the year. Matt Latos couldn't quite get it done against the Giants up at AT&T.
Do you even know who Matt Latos was going in that season?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because I followed him in the minor league.
I'm just saying.
Latos and I actually got along pretty well. He didn't get along with the media real well here, but, you know, Matt was a little bit different guy, but I always had a pretty good relationship with him. So let's get to our Hang a Star play of the day. It's a very special one today.
What play separated the winners from the losers? It's time for the Hang a Star play of the day.
You can hang a star on that, baby!
The 97.3 The Fan.
No-hitter of perfect game for Don Larson. Yogi Berra runs out there. He leaps on Larson, and he's performance by Don Larson.
That was the Hang a Star play of the day on the John Cantara Show on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, on the passing of Don Larson yesterday, the great right-hander out of Point Loma High School throwing that no-hitter in 1956 in the World Series against the Brooklyn Dodgers. Today, that was our Hang a Star play of the day, and I mentioned it at the top of the show, and we tweeted it out, had a nice picture taken back in September of 2014 with Don Larson after I got done with a broadcast down at the Hall of Champions, and he and his wife were touring that day and had the opportunity to visit with him for a few minutes. That was really cool, and had a nice picture with him, and friends and family out in our listening audience, my sincere condolences. Don passed away at the age of 90. I've been mentioning all day long that the boys are down at the convention center for the big San Diego International Auto Show. I'm joined by Gwen and Chris. Gentlemen, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year, Coach.
Happy New Year, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Chris, I'm a little disappointed that the girls' basketball team couldn't get it done up in Fresno yesterday.
Well, you're not the only one, and tough ride back today. We just kind of, they did a lot of film last night, this morning, and the kids really paid the price for that one. The coaches worked them very hard, and we just got back to town a little while ago. So, but hey, that men's team keeps rolling along like they are. That's great news for San Diego State.
Yeah, I got to get your guys' opinion on this. I don't know if you guys read the article about the game, but apparently the Mountain West Conference has got this deal with Nike to where they've got this basketball, and I believe Tony and Chris, you guys have been around basketball a long time. You know the seam. Some are narrow seams, some are bigger seams, especially if you're using an NBA ball. But apparently this ball is a lot different from the ball they normally use, and there's a sensor in it. And both teams came out yesterday, and they were just flat out awful. Malachi Flynn said it was ridiculous, basically. And the Mountain West Conference, again, you know, the game's on Facebook yesterday, the 13th-ranked team in the country. The game's on Facebook, and then they're using a basketball that the kids aren't used to using.
Yeah, I mean, we saw this, about 5-6 years ago when the NBA tried to implement their new basketball.
It didn't last very long.
It didn't last very long, and I think the moral of the story is don't try to change the ball. It's as simple as that, and the fact that both teams had complaints about it. They both didn't shoot the ball that well.
I bet you Utah State had more complaints than the Aztecs because they got crushed last night at UNLV.
Yeah, by exactly. 17.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things where, again, this is another example of why San Diego State is possibly looking to move out of this conference when they get a shot. Now, that's probably not likely because it's tough to find a home, but this is just goes into that pile of reasons why the Aztecs might be better off in a different conference.
This is all a technological thing, right? They're yeah. putting a sensor in the ball
yeah.
so that coaches analytically can tell where the ball is and where it's going throughout the game. To me, they don't need all that information. They can see it for themselves
exactly.
watching from the bench. And I just think it's overkill. I mean, technology's great, but sometimes it's too much, and I think that's the story here.
Hey, gentlemen, real quick, I got about a minute. What do you guys got coming up today?
We're obviously here at the Auto Show here in downtown San Diego. We'll have Rich Neuendijk, the Auto Show chairman, talk a little bit about the vehicles they have here. Bethel Duran is beyond. Talk a little bit about the Lakers and some LA sports there. We'll have our countdown, and this is my first show back, Coach, so I'm sure we'll get into what happened over the holidays and New Year.
KJ Fagan's going to be on also.
That's right. KJ Fagan recently has agreed to come on the show, so we've got a jam-packed show today.
Oh, that's great. Well, you guys have a great show. I'll be listening.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
There you go, Gwen and Chris down at the San Diego International Auto Show. As I get out of here, this hour's Grand Slam giveaway keyword is news. Text NEWS to 72881 for your chance to win your share of over $180,000 in the Fans National Cash Contest. Message and data rates apply. Good luck from 97.3 The Fan. For Braden Soprenant, Jordan Spurgeon, good luck at Arizona State, my friend. I'll see you tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in to 97.3 The Fan. Bye-bye. Thanks for downloading the John Cantara Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
She said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.